Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, I brought a very important document to Sunday school. What did I bring? Marriage license. And we talked about something on that marriage license that was very important. The seal. We talked about the fact that every believer is sealed by the Spirit of God. And we talked about three very specific things that occur because of being sealed by the Spirit of God. Now, I know this is 2 weeks ago, and let's see how we do. Some of you folks that take notes, you can help us here. Three things that occur or we have because you are sealed by the Spirit of God. Number one, it proves that you are what? I heard it. Who said it over here somewhere? Authentic. Very good. Very good, Joey. It proves you're authentic. If you have the Spirit of God, you're the real deal. You are a child of God. By the way, if you don't have the seal of the Spirit of God, it means you're not a child of God. But if you have the Spirit of God, you're sealed by the Spirit, you are authentic, you are a child of God. All right? That's the first one. Very good. We've got two more. Ownership. Very good. If you have the seal of the Spirit of God, it means you no longer belong to yourself. You're a child of God. You're a possession of God. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? And he goes on to say, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Have you thought about this week? You no longer belong to yourself, you belong to God. Everything about you, these hands belong to God. This mouth belongs to God. These eyes belong to God. These ears belong to God. Everything about you belongs to God. Good. So authenticity, ownership, what's the third one? Security. If you've been sealed. You have been sealed to the day of redemption. What a blessing. What a blessing. What assurance in the Christian life. Well, this morning I have another document in my hand. This one says, notification of birth registration. Registrar's number 2455. This child, Gary Lee Seaman, born in Eureka, California, December the 7th, 1959. Mother's name, Carolyn Louise Parker. Father's name, Robert James Seaman. And then it has the home address, 1874 Cecil Avenue, Fortuna, California. And it's funny because I looked at the back of this thing and said, if you need a copy or replacement, pay $1. I guarantee you, it's not a dollar anymore. They won't even look at you for a dollar. But when I was growing up, I mentioned this to you before. I have two older brothers. And if they wanted to get my goat, they wanted to get me mad, they would say, you are not even really a child here. You have been adopted because I have dark skin and the rest of them don't. And so I looked a little different. And so you don't even belong in this family. Now, I'll be honest with you. At the time, I was very offended. And I may call both of my brothers today and say, hey, I've got my birth certificate, boys. I just want you to know that I'm the real deal. And it bothered me to think that I was adopted. But you know, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized how precious adoption is. And we've got some folks in our church who have adopted children. And the special love that a parent can have for a child that is not their natural child, but an adopted child. But at the time, I thought adoption was terrible. You know what I found out in the recent years? I really have been adopted. I have. Now, not physically by Bob and Carolyn Seaman, but I have been adopted by the Spirit of God. I belong in the family of God. Now, really, there's two reasons for that, and this is just kind of a side note. We have to be born into God's family. And when you're born into God's family, what do you get? Think about this. You get a new... I heard it. Somebody whisper over here. A new nature, right? Because I'm in my family, there are certain things that are true about me. My dad has no hair, although he wears a toupee, although he doesn't much anymore. But everybody always said, why does your dad have hair and you don't? Well, he has more money. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But I have the nature of my parents. You know what? When you get born again, you are given a new nature, and you are given the nature of God. But adoption is the second time. You really, this happens when you get saved. But you are adopted into God's family, and this gives you not the new nature, but all the rights and privileges of sonship. And we'll talk more about that next week. It's going to take me 2 weeks to get through this. And I want to give you four things, new things that occur because you're adopted, okay? So here's number one. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's read the text first. You're in Romans chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 14. Romans 8, 14. We're going to read here about 10 verses. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, listen, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And there's that first new thing, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The second one is found in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And here's the third one, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That's an amazing thought. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, hallelujah, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting, here's our word again, for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we're going to stay mainly here in this text for the next couple of weeks. And we want you to see number one in verse 15. Let me read it for you again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Here is a new relationship, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So number one, a new relationship, a new relationship. What's the old relationship? Well, you see it in this verse. He said, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to what?
Fear.
Now, he's talking here about bondage. And before you get saved, you were in bondage to several things. Somebody help me. Before you got saved, what were you in bondage to?
Sin,
undoubtedly. No doubt about it, you were in bondage to sin. And you're in Romans chapter 8, and you can look back just one page to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6, 17. And it says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Why do sinners sin? Why do unsaved people sin? Because they're sinners, they're born sinners, and they choose to sin, and they are in bondage to sin. In fact, in that same chapter, he talks again about being servants of sin. And look in Romans 7 and verse 7:23. And he said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So before salvation, everyone is in bondage to the law of sin. We're all sinners, and we sin because of that. A great picture. Can you think of a picture of bondage to sin in the New Testament? I mean, this just jumped to my mind. A guy lived in the local cemetery. Did that ring any bells? The demoniac of Gadara. And it said, they would try to bound him with chains, and he would break the chains, and he was just uncontrollable. He couldn't control himself. Nobody can control himself. He was in bondage to sin. Of course, he was also demon-possessed. But before salvation, we're in bondage to sin. So think about the children of Israel, and they come out of Egypt, and they're in bondage to sin, and they come under a new bondage, which is very interesting. Not a bondage to sin, But to try to solve that, they received something else. And now they're in bondage to that. What am I talking about? The law. In fact, we'll look at this in a little bit. The other passage in Scripture that talks about adoption is Galatians 4. And it says, talks about being under law. And so to try to free them from the bondage of sin, God gives them the law, which shows them what sin is and what they need to do. But let me ask you a question. Those Israelites were under the law. What was their relationship to God? Think about Mount Sinai. And they come to Mount Sinai and God says, Moses, you come up. But the people, there were some restrictions. They couldn't even touch it. And can you imagine what they thought when they saw that lightning and that thunder and the cloud on the mountain? In fact, they said, look, Moses, why don't you go talk to God, have him tell you what to do, and you tell us and we'll do it. What were they controlled by?
Fear.
Fear. And you think about the law. Did the law give freedom?
Condemnation.
They lived in fear. Think about the Day of Atonement. And the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies and offer, put blood on the mercy seat. And you remember what he had on his clothing?
Bells.
Had bells and pomegranates on the bottom of his robe. Why? They could hear him moving around. When he stopped moving, what do you got? You got a dead man, okay? And in fact, they also tied a rope around his ankle. I mean, if God struck him dead, I'm not going in there, are you? They just drag him out. By the way, you say, why did they have fear? Well, remember Nadab and Abihu? They offered strange fire and God said, it's going to happen. And God just burned them up. There was a lot of fear involved with the law, wasn't there? You break the law. I mean, they lived in fear. They were in bondage to fear, even though they had the law. Even though they were sinning and they had this bondage and they were under this. And it was just a time of fear. And wow. Now he said, look, when you get adopted, that relationship changes. Now, I want you to remember, think about what the Old Testament Jew, his relationship with God. Another illustration. How did they get copies of the Word of God? They pulled out their local Xerox machine, right? And they just started to put the Bible right, or they had a press. How did the Israelites get it?
Handwritten.
And these priests, when they would come to the name of God, they said they would take and they would go and they would take a bath and they would get a brand new pen. And they were fearful even to write his name. Fear, fear, fear. But when you got saved, you got adopted. By the way, think about before you when you got saved. Think about that. And you realized you were a sinner. And you realize that your sin alienated you from God. And many people get saved. Why? Because they're afraid that they're going to hell. And in a moment, all of that changes. And look back at the verse. This is great. Look at this new relationship. We go from fear to verse 15. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let me ask, can you see the Old Testament Jew talking to God? Like Abba? Abba is like daddy or papa or, you know, that relationship of sweet trust that a child has in the father. Folks, that is so different than what the Old Testament Jew had. They were afraid of God. Oh, it's terrible. Now, you get adopted into the family. Oh, what a change. And now God the Father is Abba, Daddy. What a change. What a different relationship. Hold your place in Romans 8 and flip over to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. By the way, the word adoption is found in Scripture five different times. One is specifically about Israel. The other four deal with us. So we're going to look at, we've already seen a couple of those in Romans. Here's one in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, verse 4, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, notice, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He paid the price of redemption. By the way, another passage, if you want to take note on that, is Ephesians 1:5, which says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so here we have this adoption that takes place. Now, let me stop for a little bit and talk to you about adoption. Paul doesn't just explain to these people about adoption. They knew about a Roman adoption. We don't. In fact, the Roman adoption and the adoption that we practice today is totally different. Totally different. The adoption today is usually of an adult or a child. Child. Usually an infant, often a newborn baby. Totally different in Roman time. Typically, the adoption in that day was of an adult male. You say, whoa, what in the world? Why would you have that? Well, it was this idea of having a good heir. If your son was a rat, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, say if you've got a son who's a rat, and you knew you were dying, and or you would die eventually, and you wanted someone to take over the family wealth and guide the family religion, and your son was not worthy, guess what you did? You went out and you found a young man, could be a slave, could be a very poor person, probably not a wealthy person, because they would have their own inheritance, and you would adopt that young man to be your heir. Totally different, isn't it? And it's interesting, if they did that, they would pay a very high price. Again, these are wealthy families that have great holdings, and they want someone who is worthy to be the heir, to take care of their family holdings and their family religion, all of these things when they're gone. It's very interesting. Nine of the Caesars were adopted. In fact, I was reading in my devotions in Luke chapter 2. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be dead. You know what Caesar Augustus was? He was adopted. And obviously when he got adopted, he became a king. I mean, he was royalty. And so these people would pay a great high price for these young men to come in and to be the heir in the family. And it's interesting, when they did that, when they were adopted, this is great, all of their debts, all of the past responsibilities were wiped out. And obviously, if that young man who became the heir was very poor, they took off those old wretched garments that he wore and they robed him with those precious royal garments. Boy, do you see the picture here, folks? I mean, what a picture of salvation. And so, think about your salvation when you were adopted. Was there a price paid? Great price was paid. The life and the blood of Jesus Christ was paid to redeem you and to adopt you into the family of God. And think about this. When you got saved, what happened to all your sins? All your failures, all your faults of the past? What happened? They're all forgiven. They're all gone. And when you got adopted, folks, you got all the rights. Oh, hey, by the way, think about this. When you got up, what happened to you spiritually? All the wicked rags of filthiness and sin and iniquity were taken from you, and you were robed in the righteousness of Christ. Wow, what a picture. What a picture. All just like the Roman adoption took place when you got saved, became a child of God. You were adopted into the family of God. Now, what is the result of that adoption? What is your view of God? Do you walk around every day in fear of God? I mean, now, by the way, we do need to have an awe of God, undoubtedly. And that's been lost today, hasn't it? Most people use the word God as a cuss word. Oh my. Okay. Even in church, often as believers, we just do whatever we want to do. We've lost the fear of God, undoubtedly. And by the way, can I go to rabbit trail for just a second? When a church decides how to worship, it has a choice. Are we going to choose to worship in a way that pleases men or a way that pleases God? Huge difference. Huge difference. That will control the kind of music a church has. If we're going to do something that pleases men, well, then bring in the rock and the rap and whatever else they like, and we're going to do it because people like it. I got a question for you, though. Does God like it? Boy, we're missing that today, aren't we? And we need to make decisions based on not what we like, but what does God like? But having said that, we don't walk around like the Old Testament, taking our shoes off when we come to church and, oh, you know, fear of God, oh, terrible. No, instead, what a change, folks. We call our Father, Daddy. Isn't that amazing that you can call God, the Father, Dad? By the way, there are many illustrations of this in the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, how does it start? Our Father. You know, it's interesting. Three times this word Abba is in Scripture. Two of them we've already seen, Romans and Galatians. There's one more. Anybody have any idea what the other one is? Close. It was from Christ. When was it? Back up a day or two. In Gethsemane. Remember that? The only other time that this term Abba is used was used by Jesus Christ when he was talking about his Father. And he said, Abba, Father. He said, if it's possible, this cup might pass from me. Now think about this, folks. When you get saved, you are able to come to God the Father and address him just like Jesus Christ Wow. Wow. And we can come to him and say, Abba, Father. Now, when I was growing up, and I'm still working on that, now I'm growing out, you know. Well, this vacation was really hard on me, I tell you. I got to go back on a diet. It's terrible. If I had a need, and we had some nice neighbors. I knew our neighbors. I knew them well. But if I needed 50 bucks for something at school or something for band or whatever, I did not go to the neighbor's house and said, Sir, I need $50. Who did I go to? Parents. Oh, I went to my dad. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, boy, this got to have it. You know, this is really... And if... Dad had it, and he agreed that it was a need, he would take care of it. Now, there were times when I thought I had needs that Dad didn't think were needs. There were times that I had needs that Dad couldn't meet. But aren't you glad, folks? You can go to your Heavenly Father, and you can ask for your daily bread. And your Father, your Abba, your Daddy has all power, all wisdom. He knows if he should answer. He's got the ability to do whatever you need. Isn't that an amazing thought? Why did that happen? Because you got saved and you were adopted into the family of God. What a great truth. And so listen to this verse. Listen to this. Sit up, listen. Okay, ready? Now, remember the Old Testament. Nobody goes into the presence of God except the high priest once a year, and he was full of fear when he did that. What if the sacrifice was rejected? He's a dead man. Now listen to this verse. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a difference! Now, because you're adopted, you can come boldly into the presence of God the Father and say, oh, God, here's my need. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Father. Here's what a change. Wow. What a change. And then, think of these verses we're memorizing right now, Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why? Because he's your daddy. You know, I thought about it. When you're young, my daddy can take your daddy. You ever get involved in that? You know, my daddy's bigger than my daddy's smarter than your daddy, you know. Hey, when God is your daddy, you win, you know? Think about that. Wow. He becomes our father. And then, of course, our verse for next week, but my God shall supply all of your needs. Oh, I like the next part. No, it doesn't say out of his riches. You can need $20,000 and go to a rich man and say, hey, man, can you help me out? I need $20,000. And he can give you out of his riches. He may give you $5. But it's according to his riches. Wow. Why is that all possible? Because you got adopted into the family of God, folks, and you got a new relationship. It's no longer that fear and the trembling. Oh, he's my daddy. He's my father. He's my papa. I can go to him for help. A new relationship. And I'm just going to start real quickly on the second one. Verse 16, back in Romans chapter 8. Not only a new relationship, but a new assurance. A new assurance. Look at in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, in our day today, I know the Prill Hearts, of course, have adopted, and I'm sure there's all kinds of paperwork and all kinds of stuff you had to do. And well, in that day, they didn't have all that. You know what they did? If you were going to adopt an heir, now this was pretty important, that there was a continuing witness of the fact that this was a proper adoption. What's going to happen when the dad dies and there's two or three other siblings? No, you don't get all my dad's stuff. No way. Boy, that adoption had to have some witness. You know what they did? In a Roman adoption, they would have 7 witnesses. What if you only had one? And he got in a chariot wreck. You know, head-on chariot wreck. Boom, he's gone. Your witness is gone. What are you going to do now? Call Geico. 7 witnesses of the proper adoption to make sure that when the parent died, boy, it would go on. And here's something else that's neat. You know, in that day, you could get rid of your son. You could disown your son. If he was not honorable, you could disown him. You could sell him to be a slave. You could kill him. I know some of you felt like doing that with your kids. No ideas now here, man. Okay, take it easy. Some of you are going, oh. Okay. It's a different day. But you know what you couldn't do? Oh, this is good. You could not disown an adopted son. Couldn't be done. You say, well, what if they turned out not to be worthy? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You've adopted them. They are it, man. Hey, I want to remind you, child of God, if you have been adopted into the family of God, you will never be disowned. You say, well, wait a minute. What if I'm not worthy? Doesn't matter. By the way, you're going to go to heaven not because you're worthy, but because Christ is worthy. He is worthy. And in fact, it's interesting. At the baptism, what did God say about Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And it said it happened again at the Transfiguration. And in heaven, what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Look, I'm going to heaven not because I'm worthy, but because the one who paid for my sin is worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy. I've been adopted into the family of God, and I want you to know something. I can't be disowned. You can't kick me out. God put me in. God's going to keep me. I don't care what you do. I'm in the family. It's secure. And oh, look at this. I got to hurry. Here we go. And it says in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh my, this is good. You don't have seven witnesses. One of those guys may die. How many witnesses do you have? You got one. Who is it?
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit of God. Any chance of him dying? I don't think so. He's God. And you know what happens? You'll be reading the Word of God, and you'll say, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know what the Spirit of God says inside of you? Mm-hmm, that's you. Mm-hmm, that's you. And the pastor gets up and he starts talking about people who've been saved by grace. Or your Sunday school teacher talks about adoption, and the Spirit of God in your heart says, mm-hmm, that's you. That's you. And you just got that, what is that? That's the witness of the Spirit. And by the way, there's the bell. They fixed the bell. Rats. Now I have no excuse for going over time. You know another great thing? He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hey, do you have a desire to be holy? Do you have a desire to please God? Do you have a desire to do right? Does it bother when you sin? Where did that come from? It's not your flesh. That's the Spirit of God. And he is working with your spirit and agreeing with your spirit that you are a child of God, that you've been adopted. Folks, when you got adopted, boy, you got a new relationship. From fear to father. When you got adopted, folks, you got a new assurance in your heart. The Spirit of God. And he's saying, I agree with your spirit. You're a child of God. We've got two more. You want to know what they are? Lord, we thank you for adoption, spiritual adoption. Wow, what a great, great, great truth. Lord, I thank you as a almost six-year-old boy, I got adopted into the family of God. And there's the witness of the Spirit. And Lord, now I can call you Daddy. Lord, I can come to you when I don't know what to do. And I have an all-wise Father who can show me what to do. When I have needs, Lord, I can come to my Father, my Papa, my Heavenly Daddy, and can have my needs met. And oh God, we rejoice in our adoption as children of God. Help us this week to live like your children, to represent the family well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Great to have you.